We hear from Dr. Laura Hansfield, Assistant Professor of Language and Literacy Education at Illinois State University. She does research involving literacy instruction and teacher identity. Welcome, Dr. Hansfield.
Thank you for having me.
Good to have you here. In your article, you talk about the relationship between literacy instruction and teacher identity. Tell us about yourself, how you got interested in this, and what do you mean by teacher identity?
Sure. Well, I am a former bilingual elementary school teacher. I then went and did my doctoral work at the University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign, in 2005. My interests, generally speaking, have been literacy instruction in linguistically and culturally diverse classrooms, as well as teacher development. But I've really always been interested in language and really not just language and languages themselves, but how teachers use language in the classroom. And I've also been very much interested in teachers' everyday work.
Are we talking mainly about English language learner classrooms, or are we talking about all classrooms?
You know, most of my work has centered on literacy instruction in linguistically and culturally diverse classrooms. Hmm. But I think in terms of teacher discourse and how they use language in their everyday work, I think that really applies to a broad array of classrooms and student populations.
Yeah. So what do you mean by teacher identity? What does that have to do?
By teacher identity, I mean a variety of things. I think traditionally, identity is construed as something that somebody has, right? And it's often aligned with social categories, being of a certain racial or ethnic background or gender or social class. The way I view it is as something that's more constructed in everyday engagements. It's something that we perform as we go about our day and as we speak and as we interact with others. So I see it as something that's a little bit more fluid than something that you just take on that's a social category.
So is a teacher identity, I'm a professor, or what are some examples, I guess, of teacher identities?
Sure. I think that there are a variety of what some have called ascribed identities, so a teacher as expert, or we often have even stereotypes of thinking about who teachers are. There's a lot of research that shows that new teachers tend to be white and female and from middle-class backgrounds, right?
So we're not really talking about, teacher as disciplinarian or teacher as pontificator.
Sure.
So you're really talking more about ethnicity and language skills?
Well, no, I think that traditionally people will think about teachers or identity specifically according to those social categories.
Okay.
I think that my view is that teachers may take up some of those dominant views of teacher as disciplinarian, teacher as authority, or teacher as facilitator, but that they really make up who they are as a teacher in those everyday engagements. And they may take up some of those dominant ways of thinking about who teachers are, right? But they may also enact a teacher professional identity differently. Teacher as co-learner, for example.
So give me any examples of that. In your study, you bring up some examples.
Sure. And again, in my own work, I'm really taking a micro level look. I'm really looking very closely at some interaction patterns. And so one example that comes to mind is within a few minute sequence, this teacher, Isabel, uses language differently and interacts with her students differently to position herself as a different kind of teacher. So, for example, at the beginning of the sequence, she will be really taking on an identity sort of as teacher as facilitator, asking very open-ended questions of her students, and really positioning them as knowers who can figure things out on their own, right? And then she'll switch in her discursive style. So she'll switch frames a little bit and begin a very different kind of interaction sequence where she will ask known answer questions of students and expect them to respond and then evaluate their response, that very traditional initiation, evaluation, response sequence.
Right.
And then at the end of that, she'll then switch back to more of a facilitative role, asking more open-ended questions and engaging in more collaborative interactions with her students.
And so now that you've done this work and you've looked at how teachers negotiate identity, what do you tell teachers? How does your work inform teachers?
I guess if I were to talk to teachers about this work, I would argue that it's my sense that negotiation is really the norm, that teachers are always negotiating different tensions in their work, mm-hmm. in their everyday practice.
Right.
For me, I think it would be helpful for teachers to become aware of the ways in which they negotiate these kinds of tensions at this micro level. You know, that can be done by reflecting on your own discourse and that sort of thing, but I think that it would be helpful for teachers to begin to seek out cracks or fissures in the system, whether that be the curricular approach they're expected to use, and to really think about what they might do differently and how they interact with their students. And so in some ways, it can just simply be helpful for teachers to ask themselves, if I've been given this curriculum to use, or this is the program in which I'm expected to function,
mm-hmm.
they can ask themselves, what can my students and I do with this, right? That's a very thoughtful and tactical question that mm-hmm. can help teachers negotiate the kinds of tensions they face in their work.
Yeah. So do you find that teachers typically don't do that, or is that a... something they pretty intuitively do anyway?
I think that the norm is that these kinds of negotiations occur every day and on a daily basis. I think that some teachers may do that more consciously and intentionally than others.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that some teachers may push the boundaries of expectations more than others, right? So, but I do think that those kinds of negotiations do occur on a regular basis. I do think that they're the norm.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they're not often visible. And what I hope that our article does is to make some of those negotiations quite visible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then does this inform parents in any way?
I think if parents were to read our article, I would hope that they would get a sense of the complexity of teachers' curricular decision-making and how it's not just a matter of taking a curriculum and implementing it, but there's some real hard work that goes into really thinking about doing things with the materials at hand to engage the learning process.
Yeah, absolutely. And that might be a nice segue into principals have to potentially also recognize. In your article, you talk about the competing demands of literacy teachers.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, the demands that they face are multiple between, you know, differentiating for student strengths and needs that they bring into the classroom context to, you know, having to implement standardized testing. And so that's a huge tension right there. The teacher in our article, Isabel, benefited from having a principal who recognized her skills and her thoughtfulness and really enabled her or gave her some space, really gave her the green light to experiment with the district literacy curriculum that she was given.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that when principals can help teachers recognize some teacher expertise and that tension that they're in, that position that they're in to have to negotiate those tensions, and maybe help teachers find some of those spaces to experiment with curriculum.
Yeah.
I think that our work suggests that although there may be an appearance of fidelity to a given curriculum, that teachers' engagements are far more complex than that.
Yes,
so
yes.
Providing professional development opportunities to support teachers in thinking creatively in that regard, I think will ultimately benefit students.
Yeah, important. And I'm thinking your work also has a lot of implications for policymakers. So the people who are requiring this curriculum be implemented and these tests be passed, what do you tell them?
You know, I think I would tell them something very similar to what I would tell principals, although they're in a very different position. I think that there doesn't tend to be a huge recognition of the complexity of teachers' work.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I know that policymakers want to... I know that policymakers want to create a system of accountability and have teachers be accountable to certain standards that students will meet.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when teachers are recognized for the kinds of negotiations that they engage in on a daily basis, and when they're recognized for the complexity of their work, I think that ultimately encouraging those kinds of negotiations will better support student achievement.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So what are you doing next? Where are we going next with this topic on learning about literacy instruction and teacher identity?
Sure. Well, right now my colleagues and I are analyzing more examples, specifically of Isabel's instruction, as well as other teachers. We've also been very interested in pre-service teachers and mm-hmm. Pre-service teacher development.
Yeah.
And so right now we're also analyzing some data that we have, interviews and observations of pre-service teachers engaged in literacy instruction, to try and understand how their literacy instructional engagements and professional identities are co-constructed.
Yeah. And how important for them to realize the transitions they're going to encounter as they become a teacher. And the complexity of the thought and the interactions they'll be engaging in. So,
absolutely. Yeah. These tensions that we've identified in the field are not going away anytime soon. and so I really believe that we need to be supporting teachers from the get-go
mm-hmm.
in successfully negotiating these things. I would be really interested to know if teachers who are able to successfully negotiate these multiple tensions, if these are teachers who are more likely to remain in the field a longer time. You know, there's a huge problem
Absolutely.
Right now with teacher attrition, particularly in hard-to-staff schools. So mm-hmm. I'm hoping and I'm wondering if this kind of work might help us understand things that we could do to support teachers to remain in the field.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Laura Hansfield from Illinois State University, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you very much.
You can find Dr. Hansfield's research in Reading Research Quarterly, Volume 45, Issue 4. This podcast is now available from iTunes, Facebook, and Twitter, as well as our website, www.voiceofliteracy.org, where you can find a link to this article and additional work done by Dr. Hansfield. We invite you to join an online discussion of this and other podcast episodes, peruse a schedule of upcoming topics and guests, and post questions for those guests. This is the Voice of Literacy.